Hi, this is Mark Cunaberti. On today's edition of Money Matters, I have a special event planned for you. I'm going to air one of the real estate shows I did in early 2006. This is a pre-recorded show from the first part of 2006, so you can't call in today. I thought it would be interesting to travel back in time to hear what I said 2 years before the real estate bubble ever hit the news. Now, tune in and let's relive one of my best shows. Now, enjoy the show.
Nevada City, music of the world, voice of the community, serving the Sierra Foothills at 89.5 FM, and available on the web at kvmr.org. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for joining me for another edition of Money Matters. Money Matters airs every fourth Thursday of the month from noon to 1 p.m. as part of our regular schedule. And before we begin, please be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speaker and guest and do not necessarily represent those of KVMR, its staff, underwriters, or members. This show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions and do your own research before investing. The information given on this program is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of publication, but is not guaranteed. And don't forget to tell your friends we're available in Truckee and Tahoe on 105.1 FM. And this show is about money, as money does matter, and the matter of money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it or a little of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and our livelihood. In short, it's about you. And to begin with, once again, the Dow bouncing around 11,000 even. Off an all-time high of 11,750 and change, if you remember in the year 2000. And gold, our extremely volatile monster in the last 2 months, was down about another $60 or $70 since our last show, touching around 530, down from a high of somewhere around 730, 740, and now is starting to recover around 580, 590. So not for widows or orphans, gold is, but I think it's a natural correction that you're seeing in gold. Gold had just jumped ballistically in the last 2 or 3 months, up from 500 to 750, way far too fast. And so now it seems to have found an intermediate bottom around 530, 535, and is starting to go higher again. So we'll see if it's just a correction in a otherwise bull market or a head fake. And we'll continue to go down. The Fed's rate is still at 5%, with people at the know betting that all the inflation numbers that are creeping into the Fed's skewed inflation figures, the Feds will probably raise rates at the end of this month another 0.25%. It's about a 90% chance, according to the people that bet on these things. You may see a 0.5% increase. I personally doubt it. I don't think Bernanke's got the cojones to do that. But if they do raise it 0.25%, it'll bring it to 5.25%, up from a 1% in 2003, I believe. So we'll keep an eye on that. The Feds are in a bit of a spot here. Our new Fed chief, Ben Bernanke, is in the unenviable position of choosing to further raise interest rates to quell the ever-increasing inflation monster and subsequently crashing an already softening housing market, or trying to keep the housing market alive and holding interest rates steady and risk letting the inflation that's getting a grip on the economy get out of control. The economy has, for the most part, only been growing by the Fed's massive printing of money coupled with the consumer use of his ATM in his bedroom that is attached to his home equity loan. Much of the economic growth seen in the past few years has only appeared because consumers continue to go further into debt by extracting more and more of the imaginary increase in home values. And with interest rates on the rise and a good portion of home loans tied to adjustable interest rates, further increases, at least in the overnight rate, would bring a halt to economic growth coming from the consumer which the consumer incidentally accounts for about two-thirds, it is believed, of gross domestic product. Gross domestic product, GDP, is all the money earned by you and I for everything that we do and sell in the United States in a year, GDP. They're thinking two-thirds of that is coming from home equity extraction. And today's show is about our favorite, real estate, the topic of the new millennium. I don't think I'm going to make a lot of friends in real estate today, which might give you an idea where I'm going to go with this show. But I do know a lot of realtors. Some of them are very close friends of mine. I know a lot of people that own real estate, especially now where purchasing real estate is the thing to do. I want to start today's show with the fact that more millionaires have been made with real estate than any other asset. Okay? So there are more money has been made in real estate than anything else as far as making millionaires. And calling real estate an asset is exactly what it is. In essence, real estate, in my opinion, is just another speculation for the most part. I might add, more people have gotten into serious trouble with real estate than almost any other asset. And both the upside and the downside of real estate really have to be scrutinized when you talk about real estate. I might add the phrase, the knife cuts both ways. And what I mean by that is the reason more money has been made in real estate is the same reason more money has been lost in real estate. It is because it is the one asset where most people, even the average Joe Blow or the low-income earners, can leverage themselves to a degree where they might not otherwise be able to. In other words, it is easy for the average Joe Blow to put on $250,000 in the poker table of life. By buying real estate, your average guy has the means to wager $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 or more just by signing his name. It's the easiest loan you can get is a real estate loan. It's probably easier to get a real estate loan on a house than it is to get a car loan from a bank. Nowadays, of course, they're giving away cars, so that might not be true anymore, but I think you get the gist of once I speak. What I find amazing about real estate, that is, if you ask most real estate owners, whether it's your neighbor or the local agent who owns a rental, if you ask anybody whether they would go to Las Vegas and bet $200,000 on the Wheel of Fortune, you would probably get a resounding no. Yet these same people, thinking real estate is a no-lose, always-win situation, wager these amounts without hesitation when they step up and buy real estate. I have owned real estate, both rental and otherwise, so I'm familiar with its advantages, such as tax write-offs, astounding appreciation at times, and I'm also familiar with its downside, such as your landlord problems and how fast you can get into trouble owning real estate. It's most important when considering owning real estate that you realize there is a time to own an asset, such as real estate, and there is a time not to. Real estate is an asset, an investment asset, and I have heard all the reasons to own it in my short life of 20 years. In fact, I usually hear all the reasons to own real estate right about the time has come not to own it. And I keep hearing them year after year. And most people tell me they're not making any more real estate. Or real estate always goes up. My dad made a fortune in real estate. Or they say, my neighbor made a fortune in real estate. Houses always go up in value. It's a no-brainer. Real estate over the long haul always goes up. Or they tell me people always want to move here. This is a great county. People always want to move here. Or if you have beach property, they ain't making any more beach property. You hear that over and over. And people don't realize that people have been saying this about real estate probably way before there were real estate agents, way before there was anything that could even advertise real estate on a grand scale. People were saying real estate will always go up. But to evaluate real estate, you must have a clear mind as to what real estate is and what is at stake when you own real estate. If you own your home and you live in it, then It becomes much more than just an investment. It's your home, and it should be regarded partly as such, which is what we touched on the last show. If you're owning a home, not all these things are going to apply as far as being an investment asset. But what we're specifically talking about here is either a second home, a rental, or owning a home that you can't afford, or owning a bigger home than is necessary. When you take those steps and go into those realms, you've actually moved out of the realm of your home and into the realm of speculation. Now, what I'm about to say is probably going to anger my real estate friends, but in my opinion, right now is probably the worst time to own speculative real estate, such as rental property or too large of a house. And right now is probably the worst time to be buying any real estate. That is my opinion. Now, I know realtors will always tell you it's a great time to buy or it's a great time to sell. In fact, I can't remember when any realtor told me it wasn't a good time to buy or to sell. In fact, in the 1980s, when I first started buying real estate, when interest rates were at 20% and housing was in an all-out crash mode, the realtors in Marin County, the ones that were at least still working, were still telling me it was a good time to be in the market. It was a buyer's market. So it's either, according to realtors, it's either a buyer or a seller's market. It's never a market where you should just stay away from. And you really can't blame them, as their business is real estate, and saying anything else would be, you know, like cutting their own throat. But I truly believe this is perhaps the worst possible time to be buying. And if you're trying to sell your home right now, you're probably finding out it's not too great of a time to be selling either. How do I know it's a bad time to invest in real estate? To answer this question, you have to look at the psychology of asset bubbles and markets. And a great example of a bubble is the tulip craze in the 1600s that took place in Holland. In the 1600s, men started to perceive that tulip bulbs would always gain in value. This led to a mania, and this captured the imagination of all of Holland. The average annual wage in Holland at that time was between 200 and 400 guilders a year. A small house cost around 300 guilders. And the best paintings in the country sold for no more than 1,000 guilders. Against these values, we can measure the extravagance of where tulip bulb prices went. A Gouda bulb of 4 aces, which I guess is a real fancy tulip bulb, rose from 20 to 25, 225 guilders. So almost a year's wages, half a year's wages. A Generalissimo of 10 aces, which was sold for 95 guilders, fetched 900 guilders toward the end of the mania. That would be, what, 2 years' worth of wages. The Semper Augustus tulip bulb was the most prized bulb. And it is said that they sold for about 2,000 guilders, or about 5 to 10 years' annual wages. But at the height of the boom, it was said to sell for even 6,000 guilders. The end of the story was that at the crash of this mania in Holland, the tulip bulb market wiped out thousands. Tulip bulb mania gave way to tulip bulb phobia. And an asset bubble, this is a classic example of an asset bubble. There have been others, but an asset bubble has a definitive symptom and a cause. The stages begin in an asset bubble where only a few people are interested in the asset, like tulip bulbs or houses. The first buyers are far and few between. Most people steer clear of buying, and only the so-called smart money is doing any buying. The next stage of a mania, before it starts, as we progress along here, the next stage progresses where a few more folks start to dabble in the market and prices start a slow, careful ascent. Then more and more people get involved and prices start to move faster. Easy money, such as low-cost credit, is usually present in bubbles, and more money is made available through low interest rates or no-cost loans. Buyers begin to multiply and parlay purchases with one or more loans. In other words, they start buying, they leverage, they buy more. Soon, stories begin to surface about how people are starting to make money in the assets, such as the real estate market. And soon, everyone everywhere is talking about tulip bulbs or housing. It soon starts to make headlines and magazine covers. Banks lose their good sense in being careful in their lending practices. They begin to think along the same lines as everybody else, that you can't lose in the asset, and everyone is making money on it. Prices start to go ballistic, further fueling the get-rich stories, and soon everyone is a real estate expert. The few naysayers, such like myself, those cautioning that a bubble is taking place, become fewer and fewer as the market continues to defy logic and plows ever faster. The asset prices then leave real value behind. In other words, they go so high, it's now out of the realm of paying for a house. They're just going higher to go higher. And soon people are buying at any price, hoping to sell to the next person at an even higher price. It's kind of like a game of musical chairs with the last one standing holding the black queen. Suddenly, ever so slowly, the smart money begins to bail out. Slowly. And prices start to stall. At this time, holders of the assets are usually told that the stall is only temporary and prices will again resume their ascent. Prices themselves has reached unattainable levels, and these same high prices soon price out buyers. Houses get too high in price, and buyers can't afford them anymore. As the asset goes up and up and up, fewer and fewer people can afford to buy it. With stalling prices, more and more houses come up for sale as buyers disappear, and housing backlog starts to pile up as buying slows. Soon, prices start to drop, and buyers, hoping to get out before the prices go any lower, begin to market their houses in hopes of getting out with at least some profits. More and more houses come on the market, buyers start to get pickier, and soon buyers disappear altogether. With fewer buyers and more houses coming on the market, prices begin to drop faster. And what buyers there are, since prices may be lower tomorrow, so they hold off buying. Right about the time everyone and their brother has become a real estate expert, and people who have no business leveraging these massive amounts begin buying, the market has already started to turn. Prices begin to plummet, and soon those who still own real estate now realize they could really get screwed. Can I take that? Take a bath? And they begin to offer their properties off at fire sales. People with adjustable rate mortgages or others who put little or no money down now see property values falling below what they purchased the house for. Monthly payments begin to gnaw on owners, and some start to leave the keys for the bank and walk away. Soon foreclosures come onto the market, and these plunge real estate values even further. An all-out crash takes place and devastates what owners remain. And then the headhunts start in Washington on who is to blame for millions of Americans going bankrupt and losing their homes.
Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. We're taking a break from today's show to remind you this is a pre-recorded show that aired back in 2006. We thought it would be an interesting side note to let you hear what I said way before the real estate crash hit the news. This is a recorded show, so you won't be able to call in today. Now, back to the time machine to the 2006 real estate show.
Sound familiar? At the bottom of a mania crash, no one wants to touch the asset. In other words, real estate. No one says, I'm not buying real estate with a 10-foot pole, because millions just lost their shirt. Millions lost their shirt in stock market or whatever the asset bubble was. And strangely enough, at that time is the time to start buying. Now, I want you to think of where we are in the cycle when it comes to housing. Have we seen housing on the news? How many TV ads have we seen advertising get-rich methods in real estate? How many magazine covers have had a picture of a house on them? I've seen 60 Minutes and Dateline both preview the housing fads, parading people in front of the camera who have no more business owning real estate than I have of becoming a professional bullfighter. Personally, and this is true, I know two masseuses, one golf shop employee, one retail store clerk, and more personal friends that I can count that have become real estate owners. I cannot tell you how many people I have known that have gotten their real estate license. My ex-girlfriend became a home appraiser. My local bartender down at the Mexican restaurant down the street from my house, who's making minimum wage and tips, has qualified for a home loan. A woman I knew who had her car close to being repossessed told me that she was moving to Sonoma to get in on a housing project where she was promised a guaranteed home loan. I constantly see ads for loans for people with no credit, bad credit, no verifiable income, no means of income, and now lenders are targeting illegal aliens and offering 50-year loans. Housing prices have reached a level where now U.S. households spend a record 23% of their income on mortgage payments. The number of households spending more than half their income on mortgage payments has risen to about 16 million American households. I'm sure you're familiar with a website called Condo Flip, which is doing a landmine business, or was, where investors swap contracts on thousands of condos that are not even built yet. Condo projects with acrobats and lavish trappings open with potential buyers lined up around the block to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on condos not even built yet, only hoping to resell them to the next set of buyers who they, hoping to sell that contract to another buyer based on the greater fool theory. Never mind what you're being told. Here are some of the headlines that I printed out of some of the websites I use this week. San Francisco home area sales down 20% in May. 20% San Francisco. Washington, a great percentage of U.S. housing markets are now extremely, quote, overvalued and at risk of falling prices. In the first quarter, 71 housing markets, representing 39% of all U.S. housing, were deemed to be extremely overvalued. From the Dallas News, fear grips Phoenix housing market. Phoenix. Greed drove metropolitan Phoenix home prices and sales to new records in 2005. Fear is now driving the market lower this year. Those are but a few. Just a few. Some 30% of the profits on the stock market, S&P, 30% of the profits come from financial transactions. We no longer make a good widget or a screw or a bolt or a nut. 30% of it comes from shuffling money around. Some 30% of new jobs in the United States are thought to be real estate related. 30% of new jobs in the United States are thought to be real estate related. Close to half of the homes purchased in California are now said to be second homes. In other words, speculative. Adjustable rate mortgages make up a great portion of loans in the last 3 years, with no money down loans also a popular favorite. Many homeowners use adjustable rate mortgages and no money down options to qualify for loans, which they normally would not have qualified for. Homeowners who were asked what they would do when the adjustable rate mortgage reset routinely responded that they plan to sell the house before the payment adjusts, confident that a market will exist to sell the house into. The amount of ticking time bombs that exist in the housing market right now are too many to count. Ask yourself, how can real estate possibly keep going up? Given the following. Interest rates are on the rise, as now the feds have to deal with ever-creeping inflation. Foreign investors are pulling out of the U.S. market as bond prices begin their slow descent, forcing interest rates higher. That is happening as we speak. We've been telling you about it for 4 months. Literally billions of dollars, and this is important, literally billions of dollars worth of adjustable rate mortgages are scheduled to reset in the next 24 months. All those mortgages that everybody took out in the last 2 years, they're resetting to the real rate. Unemployment is on the rise. Rising commodity prices such as copper and lumber continue to put pressure on builder profits. Rising gas prices and consumer price inflation robs potential real estate buyers of needed funds. The federal budget and the trade deficit that we've been telling you about since this show started are spiraling out of control. The stock market, of course, is flat. The higher interest rates mean less consumers are willing to take more money out of home equity loans, which are further going to dampen consumer spending, which, remember, we said was 2/3 of GDP. And international events, well, you know, you can use your own imagination there. I'm sure they're not making us any more comfortable to buy out a large piece of property. Other signs that the top may be in place. Available housing in Las Vegas has gone from 3,000 homes on the market in 2004 to close to 20,000 now. That's a five-fold increase. The amount of Americans who can now afford a house has dropped to an all-time low because of the price of housing. The chief executive officer of Hovnanian, they're one of the largest home builders in the U.S., has said, quote, real estate investors have largely pulled out of the housing market. Hovnanian has since canceled about $5 million worth of land deposits, forfeited the $5 million, because it plans not to build the houses that it previously committed itself to due to lack of demand. As prices fall, all the second homes that have been purchased will flood the market as investors head for the exits. A 44,000-unit development, partially funded by actor George Clooney, has been canceled in Las Vegas. So Hollywood is full of real estate experts now. And you don't think we're at a top? The Florida condo market is in a virtual freefall, according to real estate agents there. Thousands of condos, both pre-construction and otherwise, sit vacant, awaiting buyers that no longer exist. According to the Department of Commerce, in 2004, the four-month supply of U.S. Homes that are sitting waiting to be sold has now gone up to 6 months' supply, and the backlog of unsold homes has now reached 128,000 units. The Stock Market Housing Index, which reflects all the housing stocks on the exchange, there's an index that kind of averages them all out, has dropped by 50% in the last year. Insider stock sales at home builders is reaching levels not previously seen. In other words, the VPs of home builders are dumping stock by the truckloads. This is a classic sign in any asset market when the VPs dump their own stock. They know what's coming. Many adjustable rate mortgage homeowners still do not realize that their mortgage payments are on the verge of resetting at a higher rate. Some will have their payments double. As I said before, billions, if not trillions of dollars worth of adjustable rate loans are set to readjust to their real rate in the next 2 years. This will raise the monthly payments of millions of Americans, and those who elected these adjustable rate mortgages are the fringe buyers. Because they elect to use adjustable rate mortgages because they cannot afford to borrow a traditional fixed mortgage. Home loan default and personal bankruptcies are on the rise and have reached epidemic levels. Lenders, the bankers, who are giving us all this money, no longer hold their own loans. So they don't care whether you're credit worthy or not. They used to carry the loans, so they were careful. Now they do not. They package them off and sell them overseas to the geniuses over there. Lenders eager to continue their profits now with rising rates are now routinely, in my opinion, accepting questionable property appraisals, and as I've said before, are now targeting illegal aliens and 50-year loans to entice more clients to take on loan commitments. As a student of economics and a real estate investor for the better part of my life, I have heard all the reasons real estate never goes down. That this time is different. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, this time is different. Beach property, what do they say? Oh, they'll always go up. They ain't making any more beach property. And to keep from alienating a lot of my real estate friends, I usually nod politely when I hear all these expert opinions. Where deep down in my body, every cell wants to scream out, no, this time is not different. Real estate does not always go up, and you can lose big money when buying real estate at a top. All signs point to the fact that we are possibly in the biggest asset bubble of all time. The biggest asset bubble of all time may exist right now in real estate. If you think the 2000 stock market crash or the 1929 stock market crash involved a lot of money, they dwarf the amount of money now invested in real estate at this moment in time. Bubbles, by their nature, suck in every last potential buyer prior to their popping. That's what bubbles do. They make everyone believe the same thing. Bubbles, by their nature, suck in every last potential buyer before they pop. And even the most contrarian naysayer, like myself, can be finally convinced that real estate always goes up. It is once said, markets can stay irrational longer than you can stay liquid. What that means is that bubbles usually last much longer than anyone would ever anticipate, convincing even the last holder-oners that there is a bubble. And they do so by the very definition of a bubble. That is to take in all but the last few pennies before the market reverts back to its mean. That's what a mean means. That when prices go out of whack, nature abhors a vacuum. It does not like extremes. So nature always brings back things to their averages. That's why they're averages. And right now, real estate is so far above its average, it is mind-boggling. In other words, at the very time everybody thinks you can't lose in real estate is the very moment everyone loses. And with real estate, the amount of leverage the average person is exposed to is way, way, way over what normal people would leave themselves open or leaves themselves exposed to if they realized the real nature of asset markets. Remember, as I said in the last show, if you own a $300,000 piece of real estate and it drops by a small amount, let's say 20%, which is a minor correction. Some people say major. I say a major would be 50, 60%, but let's say 20. A $300,000 piece of real estate that drops by 20% is a $60,000 loss that you're on the hook for. So if you can't afford to lose $60,000, you should not be owning a $300,000 piece of real estate. Remember, it's not the amount of the down payment that you'll be losing. You're on the hook for the total value of the property. So if you put down $500 and buy a house with a $1,000 monthly payment and you buy $250,000 worth of property, don't think that you're only on the hook for your $500 and that you're only on the hook for the $1,000 monthly payment. You have just pushed $250,000 onto the poker table of life. In my opinion, buying a house right now, given the prices that real estate has now reached, with the amount of taxes you're going to have to be paying every year, with the amount of money you will be responsible for, buying a house right now is one of the worst financial decisions you can make, in my opinion. And I will complete that sentence by saying, is the worst financial decision you can make if the value of the property is over 20% of your net worth. That includes the amount of money that you're going to be owing. The risk and the amount of money that will have your name on it is just too great. If housing corrects by the amount that I expect, a great majority of homeowners will be facing total bankruptcy. And let me explain that 20%. If the amount of the property is over 20% of your net worth, I would not consider buying if it was me. In other words, if you're buying a $300,000 piece of property, unless you have a net worth of $1.5 million, you should not be buying. And if you're going to make monthly fixed payments, like most of us are, your monthly payments based on a 30-year fixed, not an adjustable, they don't count when doing this calculation. The amount of monthly payment on a 30-year fixed should not exceed 40% of your take-home pay. Now, I know these figures that I'm giving you are probably going to shock a good many of you and probably is making my real estate agents and loan agents out there start to throw darts at a picture of me. But this is how strongly I feel about it. Would you bet $250,000 on a tulip bulb, on an internet stock, on a table in Reno? Of course not. But that is essentially what you're doing by encumbering yourself these huge mortgages that properties require. Given your personal residence That may be an exception to some of these figures, especially the total value of the house. But you have to realize, real estate can, and in my opinion, will fall in value, and by probably more than most people realize. I put it to you, when even the feds see the fall, and they see all the people coming from the real estate collapse, and all the letters and protests are going to be out there saying, how could you let this happen? You may even see Fed intervention into the home mortgage market. You may see them forcing lenders to convert traditional mortgages into 100 or 50-year terms. Or they may just outright say, you don't owe the money anymore, we'll pay for it, since they just want to print money anyway. But don't count on it.
We're going to take a brief break from today's show to explain this is a pre-recorded show. This is the real estate show that I did in 2006. We have traveled back in our time machine to see where we were and where we are now as far as real estate is concerned. Since this is a recorded show, you won't be able to call in today, but it is interesting to hear the call-ins nonetheless. Now, we're going to continue with the show, a 2006 Money Matters show on real estate 2 years before the bubble even hit the fan. Enjoy the rest of the show.
You're live on the air with Money Matters.
Hi there.
Hi there.
My name's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you. And I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be approved for a government rural development home loan.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me it can be as low as 1%. And it's a variable. And you've got me scared with this variable questioning. I was just wondering if you can give me any clarity on these type of loans.
Well, you know, when I first took out a variable loan, I think I was, I don't know, 22 when I first bought my first property.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it adjusted. And 6 months later, my payment went up. Now it's even worse. I don't know what they're offering, but an adjustable normally means that's what it is. And they usually will give you... they have a lot of things that they don't tell you. You know, I don't want to say that they're underhanded, but a lot of them will say it's a 1% payment, not a 1% interest rate, if you know what I mean by that. In other words, the interest rate, the APR, what they call the annual percentage rate, which should be in the disclosures that they're giving you, will probably be upwards around 5.5, 6, 6.5, 7. And you want to look at the APR. Because
okay.
That's your real rate. What they're promising you in the beginning is just to get you to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if it's an adjustable rate mortgage, you want to look somewhere in the paperwork on the APR, which is the actual principal rate.
And that's what they would determine what the monthly payment would be.
Later. That's what you will be that's what you will be accruing the balance on. In other words, your payment may be 1%.
Uh-huh.
But your balance may be going up monthly because you should be paying the 6% that's in the APR, but your payment is locked in at 1%, or they may be giving you that 1%. But they have something, that's something called a negative amortized loan, which means that you make payments, but your balance is growing over time.
So do you know much about these types of loans? This is all new to me.
Yes, I know a lot about them, and I tell you what you could do is you could send me an email. Are you getting through an agent or through a government? Are you going through a loan broker?
No, I'm going through the government office in Auburn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there must be somebody that you're talking with
yes.
on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
Then you want to have them explain to you exactly what it is that you're going to be obtaining. In other words, does the 1% reflect the actual interest rate that you're going to be paying, or is it just a 1% payment?
Okay.
In other words, if you owe me $10 and I charged you 50%, you'd owe me $5, right?
Right.
But if I told you you'd only have to pay me 1%, you'd only owe me $1 or whatever
right.
the heck it is. Although I'm still charging you $50, what's happening is you're going into debt with me $49 every month or every year or whatever it would be. So it's very important that you are very clear on what you are getting into. And so if you'd like to send me an email, I would have a little bit more time to discuss that with you.
Okay, what is your email address?
It just goes to moneymatters@kvmr.org.
Okay.
Okay, and I might mention I do get a lot of questions on whether I do this as a fee, and not at this time. I'm too busy. But for KVMR listeners, I will answer questions at no charge or anything.
Thank you very much. A special
thing for KVMR.
That's good, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
There you go.
Thanks a lot for your phone call.
Bye-bye. Yes, I do get some emails. And no, I do not do consulting for a fee at this time. So, but for KVMR listeners, I will answer your questions if you like, or steer you in the direction where we can go. The other callers, just hold on for a minute there. Lenders sometimes just don't tell us exactly what we're getting into. An adjustable rate mortgage is an adjustable rate. In other words, it adjusts. And a fixed rate doesn't. Once you're sold a fixed rate, it stays the same. And the adjustable rate mortgages that are out nowadays can be very, very tricky. They can say they're 1%. Some of them call them freedom loans. It means it's a 1% payment, not a 1% rate. In other words, you can pay 1%, but your actual rate is 6%. So just be aware of that. You have to read those disclosures. And if you don't know what they mean, my word, don't sign them. Okay, we're going to take another call or two. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I am calling about something maybe not quite in the line of your show here. But
is it about financial, or were you calling just the office?
No, I'm calling you.
Okay, fine.
Okay. I am inheriting a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood at first that the taxes would be paid by the estate.
Mm-hmm.
And now, suddenly, at the 11th hour, I find out that they are not being paid by the estate. Is that normal? Is there anything I can do?
That would be a tax question, and I would defer that to, do you have an accountant or a tax preparer?
No.
Okay, so you're just being approached this with the people that are handling the probate?
Right.
Okay. And we're talking about a house, so we're talking about a substantial sum of money?
Well, it's a humble house, but it's where I live.
Yeah, okay. But it's more than you would bet on a casino table, I bet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would recommend getting for $50 or $75 or the $100 that it would cost you for a consultation to go to a CPA, and not a tax preparer, but an actual CPA. And spend the money, because you don't want to make a mistake.
Indeed, I don't.
No, you don't. You're talking about way too much money, and of course the penalties from the IRS as well as interest can be significant. And a CPA would see you for $100. And if we're talking about a house that you're inheriting, you're getting a little bit of free money there anyway, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
So there are...
Why would I go to a tax person as opposed to a...
Well, they have people. They have tax preparers, and they're a little less expensive than a licensed CPA, because you know the schooling is a little bit different, and the diploma is different. And so I always opt, if it's a tax question that has to do with money, I was always opt to go to the highest paid professional, so I don't get a mistake making. So they don't make a mistake.
As opposed to a probate lawyer.
A probate lawyer would probably be. That's more of a tax question. So there are lawyers that specialize in tax probate. So you're not really having a legal issue here. You're more having an accountant issue. So I would, if I was you, I would lean more toward a CPA.
Is there anything available for seniors?
Pro bono? I don't know that. If there's any listeners out there that would like to call in and let us know if there's...
There
you go. I think as soon as you all of a sudden get a nice amount of money, such as a free house, you kind of go out of the, quote, low-income class, if you know what I mean.
It's very humble.
But if any listeners call in, otherwise, I'm sure there's agencies out there that could answer your questions on that, as far as senior assistance.
Okay, I just need to find them and know who they are.
Yeah, just be careful, okay?
Well, thank you for your
help. All right, thank you.
Bye.
And you're live on the air with Money Matters.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm a real estate appraiser. I've been working in the Sacramento area since 1984, mm-hmm. and before that I was down in the L.A. area.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with everything you said, except there's something that you've kind of misstated. There are no $300,000 houses in this area.
Okay.
They start around, you know, $400,000.
Sure, okay.
Probably.
Okay.
And the average wage is not going to get anybody qualified for a loan.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, since you haven't identified yourself. Do you feel any pressure from an appraiser to...
Oh, yeah.
To you do?
Yes.
Okay. What he's speaking...
I've been told to not put... that the market is, you know, even.
Mm-hmm.
That it's appreciating.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my opinion.
Sure.
All they're buying is my opinion.
So you do feel pressure to make the appraisal equal
sure.
to the amount of the loan.
Right.
Okay, just what we were talking about. Any other questions?
No, that's it. I just wanted to say that the $300,000 house you're talking about is gone.
Thank you for your phone call.
All right.
You're live on the air with Money Matters.
Oh, hi. I'm turning the radio off.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show, and I have a question about where, in which areas you're talking about. You made this big statement about what's happening with the real estate market, and I have a son who has real estate in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
which he just bought last year. Now, that is an area, one of the major ones, that where the housing has gone up tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other areas where that hasn't happened so much.
That is true.
So what I want to know, basically, is which areas are you talking about? Are you making a general statement? Or if not, and I don't see how it could be general, how would I decide or know what's happening or what's going to happen where?
I've seen various articles on what, quote, areas are supposed to be higher in bubble territory than others.
Right.
Half of them were in California.
Right.
I don't have the specific website address or the reference that you can go to, but I think if you went to Google, which I find as an excellent resource myself, and Google in overinflated housing regions or something of that sort, I know that there is a lot of information on which housing markets are, quote, by the experts, overvalued more than others.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've been talking about, is that just for those areas then? Or are you talking about, you know, is this going to happen basically, like, for instance, in California, Northern California, where the housing price hasn't gone up so much?
In my opinion, I think you're going to see it nationwide. More areas will drop, you know, further
right.
than other areas. So it's not going to be across the board.
Okay.
I would imagine there's probably some areas that only drop 5 or 10%. But personally, I think it's going to drop in a lot of areas a lot farther.
So how would one judge, for instance, if an area really hasn't gone up much at all in the last three years or so?
Mm-hmm.
Would there be any concern in those areas? Or?
It's generally thought if the housing prices in that particular area have not ramped up as much as other areas, uh-huh. that it is not as susceptible. Because remember, a ramping up of value is, the normal price of the house, where let's say it was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and the price where it is now, that difference is a perceived value, where we're assuming that 3 years ago or 4 years ago, the house's value is what it was. It was really worth that much.
Right.
And what we've seen is these tremendous increases is where we're getting out of the area of what it's worth and into the speculative area. So if your area hasn't moved much, the houses are probably close to their inherent worth anyway.
Okay.
But remember, when a housing market reverses, it will take down good markets as well as bad ones. But as a general rule, if the housing area where you are, where the housing hasn't gone up that much, it probably won't correct that much, as much as another area would that's gone up like two or three times.
Okay, so it's just kind of a proportional thing.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Kind of
and, of course, you know, it's all according to the, quote, experts, right? And if we all knew exactly all those answers, we'd all be rich smoking big cigars.
Right, okay.
Well, thanks for
Thank
your phone
you.
Call.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay,
bye.
Okay, so there you see. The housing market is interesting. I try not to listen to what people are telling me about it, nor do I believe it. Again, I find Google as an excellent resource for answering some of these questions. And again, the call about the adjustable rate mortgage from that lady is disturbing to me. That there's, you know, I just know there's a lot of people out there that don't understand what they're signing, and that is very scary to me, especially the amount of money we're talking about here. So please, if you don't understand the contract, don't sign it, and pay someone to help you. That pretty much concludes our time here on Money Matters. The time goes so quick here.
And yes, the time does go so quick, doesn't it? That was a pre-recorded show from early 2006. We aired today's show to give us a perspective on where we came from and where we are today. I hope you have enjoyed today's show. Remember, the views and opinions expressed in today's show do not necessarily reflect those of KVMR staff, management, or underwriters. Feel free to send me an email at moneymatters@kvmr.org. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or comments, email the program director at your community radio station. Have a great day.